And I just want to share with you a few words this morning. Is that all right? I'm going to do it anyway. I'm just being polite. The joy about being an evangelist, I just get in my truck in a few minutes and head west, southwest. Hallelujah. It's all good. I don't have revelation this morning, but I would like to have confirmation. God is looking for some laborers. There's no such thing as volunteers in the kingdom of God. I see lots of bulletins looking for volunteers in the church, and I understand that I pastored for 24 years, but there's no such thing as a volunteer in the kingdom of God. There are workers and laborers. End of topic. You cannot find the word volunteer in the Bible. I've read the 87,432 verses. You cannot find the word volunteer. You are not a volunteer. God's not going to let you off the hook. You are a laborer for God. You are a worker for God. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's no retirement as laborers. Seasons change. Grandpa, Grandma, you're not as fast as you used to be. Hey, I got to tell you, Pastor, grandkids are the best. I would have had them first. Like they are the best. I got 9 of them. I can't remember their names, but I like them. I like them. Right? So they're the best. But one of the reasons why I'm still breathing is because I have grandchildren. No, that wasn't good enough. One of the reasons, Dad, you're still breathing, you're not as fast or strong as you used to be, but you can pray. You didn't stumble into the kingdom of God. Somebody prayed for you. And if it wasn't a Christian mother or father, it was the one who sits on the right hand of the Father, and he ever lives to pray for you. Ever lives to pray for you, Bubba. So it's time that we as grandparents would step up and get back on our knees and call on God for our grandkids, for our sons and our daughters. Because there's lots of people that stumble into hell, but nobody stumbles into heaven. Nobody. You got to have an RSP. Somebody has to work ahead of you. And the Holy Spirit convicted you and said, come out of darkness, and I want to introduce you to someone who can change your life. And you did that, I trust. If not, you should today, to know the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Matthew, you know it well, chapter 9, I've got a few verses, 36. Jesus went through all the towns and villages. He modeled the Great Commission before he wrote it. Let me say it again. He didn't just come up with going to all the world and make disciples. I give you authority. He actually modeled it in chapter 9 before he wrote it at the end of this book. And so he's not just shooting from the hip. He actually did this stuff. He actually did this stuff before he sent it to the disciples. So Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. Church, if we ever had to be people of good news, it's right now. It's right now. You can get all sorts of news in Pembroke. All sorts of news. I know good news is no news. That's what they say in the news media. But we are people of good news. If you got no good news, keep your mouth shut. Thank you. If you got no good news, not good English, but if you got no good news, just keep your mouth shut. We are people of the kingdom of God. Right? We're kingdom people. We're working towards something as the Holy Spirit is nudging our hearts for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not thinking about heaven these last couple of weeks, you are dead. You are dead. Look around. Keep your eye on Israel. They're the apple of his eye. One of the biggest telltale signs that Jesus Christ is preparing to do something significant is the nation of Israel. Wake up, church. Wake up, church. This is our moment to grab a hold of what God has for our lives and move forward. But it's good news, good news, good news of the kingdom and the healing every disease and sickness. Hallelujah. Thank God for the signs and wonders of what he can do. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He wasn't looking at what they were driving. He wasn't looking at their clothes. He wasn't looking at their diamonds. He wasn't looking at their stuff. And what side of the town do you come from? He looked at them, whether they were millionaires or whether they were paupers. And they were all to him helpless and harassed. Helpless and harassed. We need to start viewing people the way Jesus does. Gang, there's only two kinds of people in eternity. Those who are saved and those who are lost. Those who know Jesus and those who don't. You need to start looking at people now. The way that Jesus Christ looks upon them. Not they got that. Stop peeking over your neighbor's fence. If they don't know Jesus Christ, they're going to hell. We need to step in and just start to look again through the eyes of Jesus Christ. He says, if you don't know me, you're helpless and you're harassed. You're helpless and you're harassed. Not about what you're driving. Not about what you're living in. It's you're helpless and you're harassed. We've lost our vision when it comes to see what Jesus Christ sees. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest. Therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. The word therefore is always a connecting word. You always want to read pre and post, therefore, therefore. So I'm looking at this three times in two verses, the word harvest is used. What is the harvest that Jesus Christ speaks about? Is it simply about corn or wheat or vegetables? No. He's referring to the spiritual harvest of mankind, the harvest of souls, which he died for, which he died for, the harvest of souls. In verse 36, Jesus uses the words crowds and multitudes to describe the harvest, men, women, boys, girls. Jesus didn't speak about their stuff. He didn't speak about that. He saw them as helpless and harassed, sheep without a shepherd. The harvest of ground is provision. What you pull out of the ground is provision. That's good. It's temporary. It passes away. The harvest of soul is eternal. The harvest of souls is a promise. Jesus Christ made us a promise that he would use us to make a difference in people's eternity. So there are four verses. These four verses speak of three issues. Number one, the harvest is plentiful. Two, the laborers are few. Number three, the remedy to fix the shortage. So there's an abundance of harvest. There are millions and millions left in the harvest. There's no shortage of harvest. There's no shortage of harvest. There are more people in Pembroke that need Jesus than don't need Jesus. In fact, let me rephrase that. If you know Jesus, you still need Jesus. One of the signs of end times is God said he'd pour his spirit upon all flesh. He didn't say the church. He said, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh, because your saved son needs the Holy Spirit and your unsaved son needs the Holy Spirit. Your unsaved son needs the Holy Spirit to come to Jesus. Your saved son needs the Holy Spirit to live for Jesus. You can't do church without the Holy Spirit. You can go through the religious gymnastics because we know how to do it, because we've been around for a lot of years. But that's not what I'm talking about. God wants to raise us up in these last days to be soul winners. You're all evangelists, and I say thank God for that. So on a global level, on a national level, on a local level, on a family level, it's unfortunate we've settled for as for me and my house. I'm here to pray, and I pray it myself. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I pray that over my family. But there's got to be more to that. If I read John 3:16 correctly, for God so loved my house, for God so loved the world, God so loved the world. The church's idea and ideology and views and theology have to be a Jesus view and theology, that it's not about simply our family, it's about the world. It's about the world. It's bigger, it's greater, and I want that. I desire that in my own life. The word harvest implies various stages of ripeness. Certain times, certain crops. There are always fields that are ripe for harvest. The fields are white and they're all ready to harvest. The Bible says, don't say there's 4 months. Don't say, Canadians, we procrastinate too much when it comes to soul winning. What will people think about me? What happens if I step out? Here's what's going to happen. Jesus Christ said, if you'd open your mouth, he'd fill it. Okay, I'll be back. I'm going to try it over here. Okay. Jesus actually said, if you open your mouth, he's going to fill it. There might be an awkward moment. But Jesus Christ said, if you take the chance, here's where I live. I'd rather have people upset with me now for telling them about Jesus than have them upset with me for eternity for keeping my big yapper shut. I'd rather get cut off from the family reunion and from Christmas, and it just saves time and gifts. Hallelujah. I'd rather get cut off from all that stuff and have them mad at me now than thinking about me in eternity, saying why that big bonehead traveled the whole world and never said one word to me, and I knew him for 40 years. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to. Eternity's too long. It's way too long. They got to make choices, but I want to give them an opportunity to reject Jesus Christ. I want to give them that opportunity to say no. I want to give them that opportunity to say yes. And I would say that you do too, but we need to step up, step up, step up. We're not just Canadians, we're Christians. And I say thank God, thank God. Christian, could it be that we're not seeing the harvest as Christ sees the harvest? Oh, again, there's only two kinds of people in eternity. Have we become selfish and sheltered in our own views of the harvest? He talks about fields, not churches. Churches, churches, churches. We get hung up about building. It's not seating capacity, it's sending capacity. It's not about how big is your church. Do you know overseas, in the 18 years I've been overseas in 47 different countries, not once has anyone asked me how big is your church. Not once. They couldn't care less. They couldn't care less how big your church is. How big your church, how many members. They never asked me that. You know what they ask? How are you doing and how's your family? Are you healthy? Are you healthy? Is your church healthy? Because they understand that a healthy church of 30 is better than an unhealthy church of 200. I'll nod for you. I'm not going to wait for you no more. I'd rather have 30 people would rise up in health and say, Chucky boy, let's get the job done, than 200 people that would sit on the backside of their lap and do nothing for the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible says, don't say it, don't say it, don't let it come out of your mouth. We got next month, we got next week. We don't. Eternity is like a lamp that goes out and leaves many people in darkness. You never know from day to day, day to day to day to day. We're saying goodbye to friends and family almost every week now, and it weighs on my heart, but I thank God the majority of them I know of know the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says it's white, not golden. It's now, not never. It's last call or lost. There's such an urgency in the verses that are before us. Christian, could it be that we've just not seen what we need to see? When you read the chapter, you see Jesus, who he considers harvest. Verse 2 of this chapter, a sick man, that's harvest. Verse 2, a sick man. Verse 18, a child who died. Verse 20, a woman who had a disease. Verse 27, two blind guys. Verse 32, a man who couldn't speak. Verse 36, those who had no shepherd. There's a variety of needs and a variety of fruit. But that's who Jesus Christ says, that's who we come to touch. We need to review our idea of fruit. Come on with me for a minute. For so long, for too long, we viewed spiritual fruit in terms of those who accept Jesus Christ. And then we qualify them as fruit. Well, they accepted Jesus Christ. Or if they put their bottom in one of our chairs at the church, then they're fruit. I want to challenge you on that this morning, and I want you to listen to me. Fruit on the vine or the tree is still fruit. Fruit on the truck, or plane is still fruit. Fruit in a box or on the store shelf is still fruit. Fruit in your cart or in your counter is still fruit. Are you with me? You guys with me? Okay. Still fruit. It's fruit in your fridge. It's fruit on your table. It's still fruit. It's fruit in your mouth. It's fruit in your belly. And we'll stop there. It's still fruit. It's still fruit. It never changed. It never changed. It's fruit. A banana's a banana. Thank you. An apple's an apple. It didn't change. And I think, oh, Lord, help us. It's always harvest. It's always fruit. Back it up with an illustration. I'm in Quebec. It's a weekend outreach. I'm one of four. They had every weekend that month, they had different events to reach their community. Four activities over the month. They had a breakfast, and they invited people. They said they spent a lot of money on advertising and flyers. And they had a breakfast and a speaker. The next week, they had a concert. The next week, the third week, they had a movie night and invited people to come to the Christian movie night. The fourth was my weekend, where I drove in. I preached Friday with a band, Saturday with a band, Sunday with a band. Seven people gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ on that weekend. I don't know about the other three, but on that weekend, seven people gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Dozens were ministered to. Hundreds attended. After the meeting, Pastor and I were talking, he said to me, we spent a lot of money just for seven people. We spent a lot of money just for seven people. And I had to guard my tongue, which is rare for me, but I had to guard my tongue. I had to guard my right hand too. I thought, you missed it. You've been in the ministry for 32 years and you still don't understand. It was seven people, and I thank God that we kept the recording angel busy for a few minutes. He didn't get the idea that the fruit was wrong. His church was 40. He had a church of 40. We had 200 people in attendance for the weekend that heard the gospel. 200 people in the convention center that heard the gospel that weekend. I preached it. So seven people get saved. How about their families when they went home that night and told their mom they'd given their heart to the Lord? Is that not fruit? When they told their dad, something happened to me tonight. When their brother and sisters found out, their cousin, is that not fruit? They're not harvested yet. They're not ripe yet. I didn't lead them to the Lord yet, but they heard the gospel. How about the printer who did up all those flyers and read them and the content? How about the hotel staff? How about the ladies and the men that poured the water into the conference center and heard the gospel in song and word? Are they not fruit? Are they not fruit? Are they not an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to convict them? He missed it. He was so hung up with his 40 people and his seats and his church. He missed the whole idea of what really fruit is. The Bible says that not every field is ripe and ready for harvest. That doesn't mean they're not harvest. They're just not ready yet. The banana is still green. Right? Your son's not ready yet, but you don't give up. You don't throw your hands up. You keep working it. You keep watering it. You keep weeding it. You keep putting sunshine on it. Why? Because that's your boy. That's your boy. That's your boy. That's your boy. He needs to make a choice for eternity. And so I just want to remind you what fruit really is. Some ripe, some not ripe. Some needing water, some needing sunshine. Others needing weeding and pruning, but there's still fruit. As the missionary statesman David Brainerd, he writes these words before his death, "I care not where or how I lived, or what hardships I went through, so long as I could gain souls for Jesus Christ. If I could just gain souls for Jesus Christ." There's nothing wrong with the harvest, church. There's nothing wrong with the harvest. It will be reaped by one of two harvesters. The seed is great, right? The seed is great. There's plenty of water and light and plenty to harvest. The soil may be a little hard, so what's missing? So I ask you, what's in your hand today? It's got to be seed or harvest. You got to be planting or reaping. It's one or the other. If you got other things in your hands, you're too preoccupied with the world. Too preoccupied with the world. When you carry your cross, you only have two things in your hand. You're either planting, you're sowing, or you're reaping. It's one or the other. It's one or the other. It's really that simple when it comes to the gospel. You know, create your own harvest. You say, oh, no one's getting saved. Then lead someone to Jesus. Lead someone to create your own harvest. Create your own harvest. Don't depend on Pastor Paul. Create your own harvest. You can do that. You're a child of God. The same Jesus that flows through him flows through you. And we just speak that in your life today. So create your harvest. Grow it. Water it. Let me give you a little acrostic on the word harvest. H-A-R-V-E-S-T. Holy Spirit led. H, Holy Spirit led. Ask. Ask for laborers. A, R, relevant reapers. V, vision for the lost. E, evangelism lifestyle. S, strategic and sowing. Teach. T, teach and train. Teach and train. The word harvest should become alive in our hearts and our lives. Number two, the shortage of laborers. It didn't say a shortage of Christians. It says a shortage of laborers. We got lots of Christians, church. Christians don't make great soul winners. Thank you. The statistics back it up. 93% of the people that are Christians never lead a soul to Jesus Christ. If Christianity was your job, would you keep your job? Over 90% of Christians never lead one person to the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing you can take to eternity, the only thing that will go with you to eternity, is someone you led to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not here to make you feel guilty. I'm here to remind you what our job is. Listen, if it was all about heaven, we'd be gone by now. You know why you're still breathing the Father's air? Because your baby girl's not saved. Amen. Google that. Amen. The only reason you're still here breathing his air and walking on his planet, because people need Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the only reason why we're still here, because God waits. God waits. God waits for one more soul to come into the kingdom of God. He waits. He's very patient. He's not lax. He's not late. He's very patient, very patient. You know, please notice the personal emphasis brought out in Matthew chapter 9. The man with palsy was brought to Jesus by four men. Four men. He obviously couldn't walk, but somebody got involved. Somebody stepped in. They didn't say, listen, we'll give you a taxi fare. They took him. They brought him towards the Lord Jesus. The father came to Jesus on behalf of his daughter. The father came to Jesus on behalf of his daughter. So Jesus wants to back it up here. The woman came to Jesus because someone told her that Jesus was close. Two blind men followed Jesus down the street into a house because they knew that he was near. And I say, thank God. The demon-possessed man was brought to Jesus. They all have somebody that was concerned. Who are you concerned about this morning to lead to the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, well, Chuck, I could never do that. You might not be able to close the deal, but you can open the deal. You say, Chuck, I'm awkward that way. That's not my thing. Then open it. Open the deal. Talk to them about Jesus. And then find somebody. Listen, there's others that do that. How about your Saturday morning when there's a little knock on the door? And you answer all their questions, and 2 weeks later, they've come back with an elder. Someone who can answer all their questions. We could do the same when it comes to leading people to Jesus Christ. If you're uncomfortable, find someone who's not. You do the watering. You do the sun. You do the planting. You do the seed thing. But they can help you reap the harvest. It's a team effort. Look at Matthew 9. People got involved. People got involved. And I say, thank God, thank God. They were all conserved. Every Christian must be involved in the harvest. We need to be soul winners to fulfill the Great Commission. Jesus' last command should be our first priority. We may not be pastors. Yes, I believe in the fivefold. You may not be a pastor. You may not be a teacher. You may not be a prophet. You may not be an apostle. But you are an evangelist. You are an evangelist. There are people that will give you the time of day that when they find out who I am and what I do, they want nothing to do with me. So here's the deal. I'm on a 19-hour flight. I'm tired. I go to sit down. People on both sides are beside me. If I want to talk, I go, "Hi, my name's Chuck Price. I'm the executive director of Reapers in the Rain International." I usually leave with their business card. If I don't want to talk, I sit down and go, "Hi, my name's Chuck Price. I'm a Pentecostal minister." I can watch the triology of anything. Nobody talks to me at all, because right away, I had one lady move her seat. Well, she didn't move her seat. She moved her body. Right? I was like, "Thank you, Jesus. I got two chairs now. Hallelujah, hallelujah." I was all excited about it. I didn't have to pay for the other one. It was all good. God's good that way. Come on, church. You have a circle of influence that wouldn't give me the time of day, but they'll talk to you because you built bridges. You built bridges. If you're going to build a bridge in somebody's life, at some point you need to invite them back onto your side. You go get them and say, "Come on, I want you to come on. I want you to meet Jesus Christ. I want you to know whom died for you." And I say, "Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God." Come on, church. Suppose a church of 100, they led a person to the Lord Jesus Christ. One person this year. So 100 by 200, 400, 800, 1,600 to 3,200, 6,400. The place would explode if every person just won one soul. One soul in 2023, one soul in 2024. We've settled for volunteers, not laborers. We've settled for new converts, but not disciples. Christians are not leading people to Jesus Christ. Disciples are. You need to understand this as I travel, because I can connect the dots. I travel Canada, North America, and different parts of the world. The day of the attractional church is ending. I'm going to stay here because I like you. Okay. Let me explain that. The day of the attractional church is ending. Like, I appreciate the soft chairs and the coffee bar and the music. You can have smoke pods and lighting and all that stuff. And that's good for the millennials. But not one of them are going to know the Lord Jesus Christ unless the Holy Spirit shows up. Straight up, straight up. We're used to stuff now. I get that. I get that. I like comfort too, right? I enjoy comfort. I'm old enough to enjoy it. But it's not winning anybody to Jesus Christ. And so the day of the attractional church, we got. There's a millennial generation that just want the real. They can smell a phony a mile away. They just want the real. They just want the real. And if you're not going to be the real, they'll move on. They'll move. You don't have to be perfect. They can see you at your worst and love you. They can see you at your best and still love you because you're real. You're real. On your worst day as a child of God, they're probably going to hang with you because you're real about it. So they're tired of the attractional stuff. They're tired of all the stuff. They just want someone to stand up and give some direction and just lead them and know that Jesus Christ is alive inside of their hearts. Does that make sense to you today? So I appreciate the seats and the coffee bar, but we got nothing without the Holy Spirit. We have nothing. We have nothing without a move of the Holy Ghost. Nothing at all. You can't play that tune without the help of the Holy Spirit. Jesus saw the crowd and had compassion. He had compassion. He didn't murmur under his breath. Look at that guy. Look at that guy, brown paper bag under his arm, dirty, filthy, pants are torn, no socks on. He didn't play that game. He had compassion on them. In fact, he hung out with them so often, people thought that he was a drunkard. That he hung out with prostitutes and he hung out with, man, if people are known by who they hang with, Jesus Christ was known as a savior. A savior, of all mankind. And I say, thank God, church. The harvest is great, the need is great, the opportunities are great, and the workers are few. They're few. Third thought and last thought says this: what can we do to remedy the situation? Verse 38, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, remember is always a connecting word. Recognize who you're working for. There's a great harvest, few workers, therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. Here's our problem, church. We're not asking. We're not asking God to send our sons and our daughters. We want them to take over the family business. We're not asking. We're not releasing them. We're not releasing them. And some of you, baby boomers, my generation, some of you retired when you were 53 with full pension. I'm going to hang over here because this is where the old people are. Okay. You have a second chance. You got full pension and benefits, and you're 53, you got decent health, and you got a trade. That trade will get you into countries where they'll slam me in the slammer. As soon as they find out who I am as a reverend, they'll close the door real fast. You can do things, go places, touch people's hearts and lives with your trade. God prepared you all these years with that trade, not so you can simply retire at 53, but he could use you in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God. Who knew? Who knew when David was up taking care of his dad's sheep and the lion came and the bear came, who knew that one day he'd stand before Goliath with a resume? Who knew the Magi who saw a special star in the skies and gazed night after night? Who knew? Who knew after all those years of studying the stars that one day the Father God would create a star in the heaven that would take them to where he was? Who knew? Who knew? Who knew your experience, good, bad, and ugly? Who knew that God was preparing you not simply to retire, but to refire and get busy for the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God will always use you. Denomination might kick you aside. The kingdom of God will use you. Let me say it again to irritate a couple more people. The kingdom of God will always, always, always receive you and take your gifts. Denomination will pick and choose, and you'll have to fill out forms and questionnaires. And you might not get through it. But I'm telling you, the kingdom of God will always make room for your gifts. Let me say it again. The kingdom of God will always make room for your gifts. You don't have to be all that in a bag of chips. There could be a hole in the bag. The kingdom of God says, I can still use you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm looking for some men and women today. I'm not looking for just young men and women. I'm looking for seasoned men and women that will rise up in these last days and say, I'll go. I'll be what God wants me to be. I'll reach people. It's got to start here before you go overseas. I don't take anybody over to Cuba that's not actually busy doing something in their own local area. I can't put you on a bus in Cuba and send you home. But you know what? We got to be busy because the night's coming when no man can work. And I want you to get that in your spirits. Do you understand you create your own harvest? You create your own harvest. You create your own harvest. You're waiting for the harvest to fall in your lap. It's not going to work that way. Create your own harvest. Create what God wants in these last days. Hallelujah. Question. Would you rather have your family and friends upset with you now for not sharing or for sharing or in eternity for not saying a thing? Again, open your ears to what Holy Spirit wants to say. There's a season right now where God is preparing us for the harvest. It's without buildings, without programs, without personalities. Church, could I make this idea? I've been up in the valley. I've preached in this place, I don't know how many times, from the time you built it when John Shepherd was here. I preached in this place. In fact, one Sunday night, you all left me, and I had to close the building down. I walked around turning off the lights and clocking the doors. I thought, where is everybody? You all went for coffee and left the preacher here. I was okay. I've done it before. Closed the lights off, closed the door. Been here, done that. Here's my idea. People in this region have already made up their mind whether they want to come here. They've already made up their mind. They drive by this place day after day after day. They've already made up their mind. I'll never darken the door. Already made up their mind. So how do we change that? How do we change that? It's got to be the help of the Holy Spirit. It's got to be. It's got to be. But it's not about simply them walking through the door. So are they still fruit if they get saved and they don't come here? Are they still fruit for the kingdom? If you pour your guts into them for 2 years and then they look at you and go, I'll never go to your church, but I'll go to the Wesleyan church. Or I'll go to the, are they still fruit? Yes, the answer is yes. Their names are still written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's not play with that. Let's not play with that. You say, well, Chuck, we want back those who have left and those who return. You know, maybe you do, maybe you don't. There's a whole lot more folks out there. If folks have left the church and settled in somewhere, God bless them. God bless them. Why are we fighting over harvest that's already in place when there's a harvest that's yet to be brought in? We spend more time talking about what happened in the past and who said this and she said, he said, come on, I've lived up in the valley. I know how it works. We need to release that in Jesus' name today and start looking at fresh fields. Fresh fields, fresh harvest, fresh people that need the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen or ouch, I don't care either. It was Western Ontario that invited me to come up and speak at the APM. At that time, it was known as the Aboriginal Pentecostal Ministries. So they took me up. Parry Sound was the farthest south. They went up to, I just remember there was ice roads and it was cold, and the rental truck didn't look the way it looked when we rented it when we got back. 162 kilometers on ice roads. We went up and spent time, and most of the indigenous pastors flew down south to be with us. Sioux Lookout was one place. And we spent the weekend together. I met this man, his name was Simon. He was I've never seen a fierce-looking man like this guy. If you didn't know Jesus, you'd pee your pants. Can I say that on Sunday morning? Okay, if you didn't know Jesus Christ, you'd wet your pants. He was a fierce hunk of man. Fierce. Big. He had his own postal code. He was big. Sat with him over the lunch table. Here's his story. Grade 2 education. Got married, alcoholic. His son committed suicide in his teenage years in the mid-90s. They were broken. They cried out to God. Simon and his lady got saved in 1988. There was no gospel church allowed in his community. Not till 2005. This is Canada. No gospel church allowed. They already had one of a different brand, weren't interested. He asked for a Pentecostal church to be built in his community of 700. The band council said, no way, it's not going to happen. For the next 2 years, Simon and his wife traveled everywhere they could to attend a gospel meeting, anywhere they could find. They finally received permission to host gospel concerts in their community. They sang a little and they shared a lot. Get it? Sang a song and then preached a lot. Sang another song and preached a lot. People started coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ through their concerts because they weren't allowed to have church. They received permission to do all that. He ran for chief, and he won. And one of his first resolutions was, why don't we build a Pentecostal church in the community? The band council agreed, and nobody ever showed up to help him. And Simon the Fierce put every board, drove every nail. I think his brother-in-law came and helped with the trusses. He built his own church by hand. He created his own harvest. He created his own harvest. I sat there, and I got a little misty-eyed, I got to tell you, you know, and the tears are coming down my eyes, and he created his own harvest. Today, that church is full. He's no longer the chief, but he's a respected elder in that community. They've had to do two additions since then, and they just had to get some storage units put on the property to put stuff in there because there's so many kids now, they need the space inside the building. What did Simon do, church? Yeah, Simon. I'm just echoing you one story out of the thousands that I've heard in the last 18 years. What did Simon do? He created his own harvest. He didn't sit back and wait. Didn't sit back and wait for the... He created his own harvest. And I'm asking to do that today, that you create your own harvest with people that are in your circle of influence. Create your own harvest. Be what God wants you to be. You grow where you're planted. You may not like your job, but you're not there to like it. You're there to see people come to Jesus Christ. You are a missionary. You are a spokesman. You are an evangelist to make a difference in people's hearts and lives. I want you to stand with me, please. I usually don't read prayers, but I'm going to today. Thank you very much. I'd like you to pray it with me silently, if you can, from your heart. God, help us to see people as you see them in the light of eternity. Only two kinds of people in eternity, saved and unsaved. God, help us to love the lost as much as we love the found. Did you hear me? God, help us to love the lost as much as we love the found. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son. God, help us to speak truth and love concerning life after death. Only two places in eternity, heaven and hell. God, help us to remember the cost and value that Jesus puts on a soul, that one soul is worth more than the whole world. God, help us to put the great back in the Great Commission. Take the average out and put the great in the Great Commission. Use me to make a difference in someone's eternal destiny. Lord, God, help us to expand our vision beyond as for me and my house. We ask for an end time anointing, for an end time harvest. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm looking for some laborers this morning, some young and some old, some laborers. Appreciate the fact that you're a child of God and your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'll see you in eternity someday. But until then, we need some laborers. We need some laborers, some workers. Don't ever use the word volunteer around me. You'll get a response. We don't need volunteers. They can pick and choose. You're a laborer of God. You're a co-worker. You're an evangelist if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that over your life today in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. You got a little song to close us out, Mary Lou? A little slap the devil music. I want to shut it down, but if... you want to come this morning for prayer, I'm your guy. Just turn the microphone off. If you're comfortable, I'll take my right hand and put it on your shoulder. If you're not, I'll step away. And we're going to agree together that God would use you in these last days. Listen, we've got older, we got aches, we got pains, we got health issues. God might heal us, he might not. I'm still going to be a soul winner. I'm going to be a sore soul winner. Listen, knees don't work well, ankles don't work well, 19 broken bones. I didn't break any of them. People did that for me. More stuff. So what? Been shot at, sliced, knifed. So what? So what? What's a soul worth to you? So what? What's a soul worth to you this morning? What's a soul worth to you? Mom, don't stand before Jesus Christ empty-handed someday. Sir, the call of God's on your life. You ought to be down here already. Young lady, mom, the call of God's on your life. Can I just say this? I'm trying to close. I really am. I can smell chicken. That call of God that was on your life down the road at that camp when you were 14, now you're 58, is still in play. God didn't change his mind because you chose a career over your calling. You're still in play. God wants to use you. He doesn't lift it because you changed your mind. The call still burns. Some of the most miserable people in our churches are people who fought the call, and they try to live their mishap through the local pastor. It's sad. See, Father, speak to our hearts this morning about what you want to do in these last years that we have together on this planet. Make a difference, make a difference, make a difference. So, Dad, thank you for our time together this morning. We pray blessing over this house. We pray blessing over this region. We pray that these next number of months will be the greatest soul-winning months we've ever had. I pray we would think more about the lost than the found. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost. He said, I'll build my church. I got this. I got this. But I came to seek and to save the lost. His M.O. has never changed. I pray you'd raise some laborers up this morning, some co-workers. I pray you'd raise some men and women to rise up with the power of the Holy Spirit with an end-time anointing for an end-time harvest. I pray that today in Jesus' name. Speak to our hearts. Don't let us get away with average. May we not bore heaven. I pray you'd cause us to get up, open our mouths, get our running shoes back on. Just get busy for the kingdom of God. Speak through us. Speak to us. The harvest, the harvest, the harvest. Come on. Stretch us, challenge us. I pray that today in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen, amen. We still friends? Just checking. I don't care, but I'm just checking. Hallelujah. All right. That's not what I'm looking for. I just love the valley. I love the valley, but God laid this word on my heart. I just had to deliver it without apology. But we need some laborers this morning. The call of God still burns like a fire. Amen. God bless you. Altars are open.